WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. A common narrative is that many men have left the U.S. labor force in recent years because there just aren't enough jobs for them and they have become frustrated. But a new paper published by economist Scott Winship at George Mason University indicates that labor market weakness fails to adequately explain why fewer men are working or seeking work. As indicated by the Wall Street Journal, a major factor is the rising numbers of men who are in their prime working years and who are receiving federal disability benefits. There is another large group of American men who are not on disability, but who report being disabled. To the extent that these men are truly unable to work, this suggests less slack in the labor market than many policymakers believe exists. One of the hopes has been that ongoing economic recovery would eventually pull more of these men back into the labor force. According to Winship's research, the inactivity rate among prime-aged men, meaning the share who is neither working nor looking for work, increased to nearly 12% in 2016. That's up from just 4% in 1970 and 2% in 1930. Nearly 60% of prime-age inactive men report being disabled. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. You may be stuck in traffic right now. If you are, you may take solace in the fact that you are not alone. American commutes in general are getting longer. New data from the U.S. Census Bureau indicate that the time Americans spend commuting continues to rise. In 2016, it took an average of 26.1 minutes, nearly a minute more than in 2010, to get to work. Most commutes are spent in an automobile. Census data indicate that more than 85% of workers drive or carpool to work. As indicated by writer David Harrison, that figure hasn't changed much in recent years. Only 5% take public transit, a bit less than 5% work from home, about 3% walk, and 0.6% ride a bicycle. Commute times flattened out during and after the recession, but have been on the rise since 2013 as the economy recovered more completely. More people with jobs implies more drivers on the road and more traffic. Given expectations for job growth in 2018, it is quite likely that your commute 1 year from now will be even longer. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. As indicated by writer Eric Morath, employers have begun to spend more on vacation perks and retirement contributions, helping to propel overall compensation package growth to its fastest pace in 2 years. Including both pay and benefits, the average hourly compensation of private sector workers advanced 4% from a year earlier during the third quarter, according to newly available data from the Labor Department. That's the best gain in total compensation since the same quarter in 2015. Wages are not leading the way, however, benefits are. The value of benefits increased 4.6% from a year earlier, the best gain in more than 2 years. Back in 2014 and in 2015, health insurance benefits rose alongside implementation of the Affordable Care Act. By contrast, the increase in benefit costs over the past year is being driven more by paid sick leave and retirement benefits. Retirement benefits, measured at an hourly rate, rose more than 11% from a year earlier. Paid leave rose by 5%. Insurance costs, which encompass health insurance premiums paid by employers, rose by 3.5% from a year earlier. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. It may shock you to learn that economists missed the mark in terms of their predictions for the economy last year. A year ago, Bloomberg asked economists to predict how 2017 would unfurl. Things turned out pretty messy, in large measure because the textbook connection between inflation and unemployment broke down, bedeviling forecasters. By November of 2016, unemployment had fallen to 4.6%. Few predicted that 1 year later, unemployment would have declined to just 4.1%, with the nation adding about 2 million net new jobs over the past year. Economists collectively expected less employment growth than transpired in 2017. That should have meant that the forecast for inflation would have been too low. After all, if the economy heats up faster than economists expect, that should translate into more price pressures in the economy than was anticipated. But inflation actually remained tamer than economists predicted, rising only about 1.5% during the 12-month period ending last November. Maybe we'll do better this year. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. Here's what you will often hear from economists. The U.S. economy could stumble into a recession relatively soon, or the economic expansion could last for years to come. In other words, economists as a group have little idea what's to come. Most economists would agree that presently, the U.S. economy has plentiful momentum, bolstered by a combination of an improving global economy, various public policies, and confident consumers and businesses. As indicated by writer Ben Lubsdorf, forecasters surveyed last month collectively estimated the probability of a recession over the next 12 months at 14%. That's pretty low, but there are still reasons for concern. For instance, when the economy reaches full capacity, a recession usually follows within a couple of years. By the third quarter of last year, U.S. economic output was above the Congressional Budget Office's estimate of its maximum sustainable level. Also, with unemployment already so low and labor shortages growing, inflation could become more of a problem, driving up interest rates, undermining asset prices, and eventually tilting the U.S. economy into its next downturn. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.